this example, we are at war.
Okay.
If I'm in old substantialist metaphysics, mm-hmm. I stab you with a knife. But I will find it difficult, because nonetheless, I don't know what's with me wrong, but I consider you a human being who mm-hmm. can suffer and so on. But he said, if I enter the Buddhist nirvana, then I no longer see me as an autonomous person with a will hurting you. Okay. It's just I observe a dance of phenomena where I don't know how your body somehow falls on my knife.
Right. You have 3 minutes to tell us whether or not we should have more faith in the human and less trust in nature.
Well, two things to say about nature. One is that nature doesn't care about us in particular. I mean, if an asteroid would hit planet Earth tomorrow morning and all life on Earth will be destroyed, nature wouldn't care about it. It would just go on as usual. Planets and stars explode all the time and physics just goes on. The second point is that, you know, it's really, I never really know what to say about this seeming binary division between humans and nature, because you can never violate the laws of nature. Nothing that humans or anybody else can do can break the laws of nature. Anything which is possible is by definition also natural. Whether it's genetic engineering, whether it's the internet, whether it's vaccinations, it's all natural. Because, you know, the laws of nature are not like the laws of a state. The state makes a law, let's say you can't drive more than 90 kilometers per hour. That's the law of the state. And you nevertheless drive 120 kilometers per hour. And a policeman stops you and gives you a ticket, a fine. It doesn't work like that with nature. Nature, it doesn't give us some kind of law. And then we break it. I don't know, we do genetic engineering, and then it punishes us for this. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work like that. So, I think we should be suspicious both of humans and of nature. And the big question to ask about anything is not whether it is natural. Everything is natural. The big question to ask is whether it causes suffering, it causes harm. Wars are natural, but they are still bad. And climate change is bad, not because it's somehow against nature, but because it potentially would cause immense suffering to humans and to other sentient beings. So that's the big question.
Fascinating. Okay. Well, Slavoj, what do you think? Do you think we should have more faith in humans? Do you think we should trust nature less? Do you want to tell Yuval he's wrong?
No, I have a big problem here, because where are the knives? I basically agree with what Yuval just said. I mean, no, because I know he is often accused of being like too popular, but I think he is saying things nonetheless in a clear, serious way. Mm-hmm. And what more fascinates me is to what extent, even if we rationally accept this and know, we don't really believe into it. I think this is even, I wonder if you would agree, what in psychoanalysis we call fetishist split. In French, je sais bien, mais quand même. I know this how things are, but somehow in me I am not convinced. I think that's the problem with ecology. Yeah, I know what science says, but you know, you go outside here, sun is shining, nature. So quickly. Yes, I agree with him. First, all is nature, of course. But here comes one, I hope you all will agree, a tricky point. We nonetheless, deep in our, I call it, as an old Marxist, everyday ideology, we nonetheless usually associate with nature a certain more or less regular pattern, rhythm. So that, and this is what I radically reject, this idea that there is some natural pattern and we humans, with our hubris, excessive exploitation or what, we are disturbing this pattern. More on this later. I would just like to remind you along the lines of what Yuval hinted, I think. Listen, just think about what are today our main sources of energy still. Coal and oil. True. Can you even imagine what mega catastrophes must have happened on our Earth for us to have this? We are a consequence of natural, we live off natural disasters. Just the last thing, I wonder how Yuval will respond. I read recently, it's even in the big media, that now according to the latest news, even this vision of global warming, it's too optimist because it somehow implies that there will be a new regular pattern, just a little bit worse. Temperatures higher, a couple of cities, big cities under the sea, but it will be a new pattern. The predictions now says, what if, and it happens often in nature, what if there will be no new pattern, but as it happens in nature again, for a long time we will live in a much more radically chaotic universe. So nature is everything, just to finish, I know you can count on my other minutes, but let's not forget that in some sense, don't be afraid, I'm a naturalist, I'm not an idealist, that nature is everything. All the catastrophes also come from nature, so sorry for a small vulgarity, if we have a mother nature, this mother is a dirty bitch, let's face it.
There we go, folks.
Just the opposite, but everything is also culture. Not in the idealist sense, but in the sense, just look at the history of the notion of nature, how it changes. Nature was in medieval times, something totally different than modern nature from sciences today, something different. Now, I'm not saying nature is just a cultural construct. I'm just saying that what we perceive as natural is always part of a cultural process.
So actually that leads us really nicely onto the first sort of theme that I was meant to sort of introduce to you, which is whatever is natural in inverted commas in that case, also by definition good? Because on one hand you've called it a bitch, and on the other hand you sort of said, well, you know, but is it? You haven't attributed the label good to that, I don't think. But do you think is what is natural also by definition good?
Well, my first very, but I've spoken too long.
Oh, okay. Yuval, do you want to step in?
No. Okay, I will just finish and then... My God, when I said I've spoken too long, don't you have manners? This is called a rhetorical offer.
Yeah.
You are supposed to tell me, no, let's go on. Sorry, all the time for here. What I won't say, as Yuval says, my God, the really difficult thing is to accept this. Even the word indifference is too much. In some stupid sense, nature just is. And let's go to the end. Let's say that not because of some comet, but because of how we will screw things up, we ruin most of the nature. This will maybe even be a minor event even for the Earth itself. In different forms, life will goes on and so on and so on. You know, the problem is to accept this utter meaninglessness of catastrophe. I will tell you, Yuval can confirm it if he heard about it. It's from human history. I met a member of them. They are minor in Israel, but not minor. There are tens of thousands of them, partisans of a certain reading of Holocaust, claiming that it's a punishment for the Jews because European Jews got too secular, too integrated. It's divine punishment. In the sense I understand them, not agree with them. You know, it's even better to conceive your terrifying fate as punishment because at least things have meaning. The difficult thing is to admit no meaning. Now I shut up.
Okay, wow. Okay, so you've thrown the question out. Excellent. Yuval, I too have to ask you, do you think that whatever is natural is also by definition, therefore also good? And good is the key word in this. Do you think it's good?
No, I think I already commented on that. I think that we are not going to have a lot of fights here, as you can see.
That's what you think.
I completely agree. You know, war is natural, murder is natural, rape is natural, and it's all bad. So and you can't get morality and ethics out of the laws of nature. And most nature is often a star in ethical debates and political debates. But this is just mythological stories that people say. When people say we should do X because X is natural, it's almost always a cultural or a political or mythological argument. It's not really an argument about nature. You know, personally, as a gay man, I heard many times this claim that homosexuality is unnatural. And again, as I said in the beginning, anything which is possible is also natural. It's in line with the laws of nature. If homosexuality was not in line with the laws of nature, it just couldn't exist. But it doesn't mean automatically that everything that is natural is also good. So what we need is just to stop using this argument, whether something is good or bad because it's natural or because it's unnatural, and move on to other arguments. And I personally would think that the main issue is whether something causes harm, whether something causes suffering to sentient beings, to humans, and also to other beings. And that should be at the focus of all ethical debates. Ethical debates are not about obeying certain laws, not the laws of nature, not the laws of God, not the laws of a state. Ethics ultimately is about suffering.
Okay. Well, but Sava, you also indicated this. You understood, at least on some level, that where that sort of human compulsion to think of, you know, nature as being good, as being the law, as being some sort of, you know, humans being, you know, contravening against it. So, okay, fair enough. Let's say we all agree, you know, nature isn't all by definition good. But where does that compulsion come from, do you think? You know, what is it that makes us all sort of rationally know that, you know, yes, sure, this is how it is. And yet, when you see something that you think is unnatural, you know, the hairs rise on the back of your arms and your neck, and you think, oh, I don't know about that.
So, now you are provoking me to go into a direction of which I am afraid to go. You know why? Because my professional deviation, I would ask here a reflexive question in the sense of, but is good itself good? In the sense of, isn't often the origin of quite horrible things done, they are done on behalf of what some people sincerely take to be good. Let's take a provocative example, because I'm almost a specialist in it. Okay, specialist means I read 3 popular books on it. Can you imagine a worldview, it's problematic to call it religion, more devoted to end suffering than Buddhism? It's all about, Buddha was agnostic atheist. He said, it doesn't interest me, God, how to diminish suffering and so on. But do you know that immediately after Buddha's death, when in some Indian states, Buddhism became a state religion, they had to make the first compromises, you know. And they had, it's horrible, 3 strategies. One was the classical European one. We should do no killing, except, be careful then, except when by modest killing we prevent more killing. Now, I go to the extreme here, I'm not unite them, but that's what the Nazis were saying, basically. You know, which was the sacred book of Heinrich Himmler.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bhagavad Gita. Because it teaches you this acting with a distance. Don't get identified with your act. And Himmler openly says, that's how a Nazi officer should maintain his humanity even when he is killing Jewish children and so on. The second element that Buddhism took is this idea of there is no harsh ontological reality. The world is just a chaotic confusion of phenomena. There is no substantial reality. And they used this to justify war. And I am not a subject. I am anatman, nobody who just observes what goes on. The one, if you are old enough, whom you maybe even remember, Daisetsu Teitaro Suzuki in the 60s, the great popularizer of Buddhism. He was popular with hippies in the 60s. In late 30s and 40s, it's a slightly different story. He fully supported Chinese militarism. And he used, sorry to be personal, this example. We are at war.
Okay.
If I'm in old substantialist metaphysics, I stab you with a knife. But I will find it difficult because nonetheless, I don't know what's with me wrong, but I consider you a human being who can suffer and so on. But he said, if I enter the Buddhist nirvana, then I no longer see me as an autonomous person with a will hurting you.
Okay.
It's just I observe a dance of phenomena where I don't know how your body somehow falls on my knife.
Right.
No, you know my point. That's here, how even the religion which was most dedicated to ending suffering found way to justify it fully. So I claim if you really want to fight suffering, then beware of those who preach too much. Good. Who was that physicist who wrote a very really who said Steven Weinberg? He said something wonderful. Now I've written books about Judaism, Christianity. I see emancipatory dimension in them, but I am basically an atheist. He said, without religion, he simplifies it. Good people would be good, and bad people would be bad. You need something like religion to make good people do bad things. If history confirms anything, it's this.
That's fascinating. I mean, just to wrap this sort of theme up, what I understood of that was kind of, you know, my question was, so then where does this compulsion come from to sort of attribute goodness to nature or whatever? And I wonder if it's, you know, as you sort of highlighted, I wonder if it's just the fact that we can't have a conversation with nature. We don't know if it's good or bad, but the assumption is this thing happens to us, thus it must be good. Anyway, unfortunately, we have to move on from the question of whether or not nature is good or not. Our second theme is about whether or not we should treat the earth as a resource for commodities and elements that benefit humans. And should we use the natural resources of the earth, from rainforests to lithium mines, without regards to the impacts? Of course, a very hot topic, if you excuse the pun. Yuval, what are your thoughts on that? Is the earth just a mine for us to mine?
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below.
With a free trial, you can enjoy the full talk and thousands more.
Thank you for being part of the conversation.